Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
I'm talking about our businesses and our babies, right? It's like, when we start a business, it's like a journey of discovery, isn't it? Because we're going to be tested to our limits, right? And we discover so much new stuff about ourselves. I think it's really eye-opening, I could perhaps say, eye-opening to be experiencing all of the things that are thrown at us when we start our businesses, and then seeing who it is we are dealing with those problems, right? So being who we are, I think, is so interesting when we think about business and entrepreneurship, because we think about, oh, what do I have to do? Much more than who do I have to be?
Meet Katrina, a dynamic entrepreneur and life enthusiast who embodies the philosophy of living life on the edge of what's possible. Whether sipping tea with a friend or gracing the stage for a TED Talk, she brings her best self to every moment. With firm belief in following one's desires and a commitment to a life free of excuses, Katrina inspires others to seek new scope for their talents. Now, as a guide for others, she empowers her clients to define and design their dream lives, ensuring they confidently embrace success without the burden of stress. Join us as we dive into Katrina's journey, learning how she navigates life with passion, purpose, and dedication to helping others unlock their fullest potential. And thank you so much for being here today, Katrina. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Well, thank you so much. The pleasure is all mine. I was born in Denmark, in Northern Europe, and right now I'm sitting speaking to you in the south of France. And of course, nothing predestined me to be sitting here talking to you today, right? It was me following my desires, really. So when I was really little, I got the crazy idea I wanted to play the harp, right? And it's over here in the corner, my first harp.
Beautiful.
Thank you. And of course, everybody told me, you can't just do that, Katrina. You know, nobody plays a harp. It's so unusual. But then I insisted and I finally got to play the harp. And I got the even crazier idea that I wanted to emigrate to the UK to go to music college. So when I was very young, I managed to get into music college and I graduated. I worked for a while in London, in the West End, for those of you who know London. That was great fun, but you know what? It became a little bit of a routine, right? So life was easy. There was lots of work. And I thought, well, am I going to do this till I keel over and die, right? I was 26 and I thought, there must be more to life. Yeah. So I got the idea that I could do the same thing in Paris. Like, I could go to music college in Paris. I could check out what was happening over there. So I did. And every time I did some of these things, people told me, like, they wanted to protect me. Of course, they didn't want me to get hurt. So they told me, you can't do that, right? You don't even speak French or whatever they came up with, right? But I did it anyway. And I survived to tell the tale. So, after going to music college in France, I worked for a while. It was all gorgeous. I got the idea that I wanted to settle down because I was tired of traveling. And I thought, oh, let me get one of those beautiful old manor houses. They look so gorgeous, and do it up. So I did. And that's really why I'm sitting here today, physically speaking, from France, and more on a professional level. Became a teacher for a short while, And I saw that there was a lot of suffering, really, for people. I wasn't aware of that before, but working as a teacher, you get to see everybody and everybody's parents, right? So I saw that really the biggest impact I could have would be to help these people be more self-aware so that they would feel empowered, really, to design their own lives, to decide what they wanted from life. And that's why I became a life coach.
Today's episode is sponsored by the Start Here Conference.
Hey there, fabulous folks. Welcome to the Start Here Conference, where the fun begins and success stories unfold.
Yep, you heard it right. We're here to kickstart your journey with a big dose of energy and a sprinkle of magic.
Picture this, a place where inspiration flows, connections bloom, and dreams take flight.
At Start Here, we're all about keeping it real and having a blast while doing it.
No stuffy suits or boring speeches here, just good vibes and endless possibilities.
So whether you're a seasoned entrepreneur or just dipping your toes in the water, there's something here for everyone.
From incredible breakout sessions to a dance party that'll have you jumping out your seats and showing us your best moves, this event will have it all.
And hey, did we mention the food? Delicious bites and refreshing drinks to keep you fueled up and ready to conquer the world.
So what are you waiting for? Grab your ticket, bring your sparkle. Let's make some magic happen at the Start Here conference.
And now back to the show.
I love it. You know, it's so interesting because I feel like this path has just been intertwined throughout your life of just following your dreams. When everyone else was like, no, don't do this, or thought it might have been crazy, you're like, I'm going to do it. And nothing held you back. It sounds like you just went for it and didn't let anything stop you. And I'm really curious because part of just working through everything that you have and just continuing forward, were there any obstacles that you had to face in that process?
Were there any obstacles? Well, there were tons of them, and most of them came from me because I used to be a perfectionist, and perfectionism held me back for a lot of my career. And I think classical music is a very good area to be working in if you want to beat yourself up. And going to music college and going for those degrees and those prizes and all of that, you're working with the very best, right? Mm-hmm. And you think, if I'm not perfect, then that's not good enough. So that, I would say, was my major stumbling block to not just career, but also to feeling good about myself, right? Because I would always focus, well, you know all about this, Caroline, but I would always focus on what I did wrong, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on what actually went well, so that I would always have something to beat myself up with. Mm-hmm. And of course, I had lots of failure, if you can call it failure, right? Trying something, it not working out, having to try again. So coming up against what we would call failure, or that just means it didn't work out the way we wanted it to work out, right?
Right.
So having this failure just wanted, well, it could have stopped me, but I thought there must be another way, right? So doing the same thing over and over and over again can be a little bit, well, tiring, right? And not very productive. But if you keep doing something and you tweak it a little every time, like if you're a business owner, then you know that you can do something, evaluate, and then do it again with a few tweaks. Mm. And that is really, I mean, I like to talk about failing your way to success. So if you can be really comfortable with the idea that it's not going to work out the first time, it might work out the third time or the 10th time, but the only failure, really, the only possibility of failure is if you stop trying.
Mm. Absolutely. And the perfectionism, I think that's something that a lot of people struggle with. Well, at least I did. And you beat yourself up if it's not perfect. But coming from a musical background yourself, and me coming from gymnastics and cheerleading world, where everything had to be perfect, the routines had to be perfect, or you were running if you dropped a stunt or didn't do it perfectly. So I think a lot of that transpires when you're starting a business, realizing you're going to fail a lot more times than you're going to be successful, because not everything is going to be perfect. And it's sometimes so imperfect that it is perfect the way it was supposed to be. And I love that you allowed yourself to fail. And what was that mindset when going from that perfectionist mindset to allowing yourself to fail and try different things? What was that shift for you?
That was self-compassion. Yeah. So I talk a lot about self-love, having a self-love affair with yourself, right? But self-love for me was just another planet and I couldn't get there. So my stepping stone was this compassion. So a lot of forgiveness for myself. And I just heard an expression the other day, not kicking myself when I'm down, right? So if I've already experienced a setback, I don't need to add to that by my mental sort of nagging at myself. I really can treat myself with a lot of compassion instead, right? Because we think, oh, I must nag at myself because that way I will be aware of what I did wrong. Really, you could just be telling yourself, oh, this is what I could do better next time and not make yourself wrong the first time. And I think having been a teacher, I think some parents could really be listening out here. It's not through scolding your children that they will succeed, is it? It's through encouragement. And if we transfer that onto ourselves as business owners, entrepreneurs, or whatever we do, if we have a career, if we can just encourage ourselves to move on instead of making ourselves wrong, I think like the quality of our lives would just completely change. But to answer your question briefly, it was compassion that shifted me.
I love that you really tapped into that and leaned into that compassion. And as you were saying with the parents, like how they scold their children if it's not perfect or if whatever may be. And it's really interesting. Last night, it was my friend's birthday, and we went to that paint and sip thing. I don't drink, but we went to go paint. And there was a little girl sitting next to me, and she was getting so upset about like it wasn't perfect. And the grandma and the mom were like, it looks great or different. It's subjective. Like it's okay. And she was just so upset. By the end, she was a little bit better, but it was almost like she was beating herself up. And it was just like, I just wanted to go over and be like, it's okay. But I saw the parent, the mom and the grandma do that. And it was just really to what you spoke to, it's showing yourself compassion, but also showing your children compassion and understanding it. It's okay to mess up. It's okay to form it into something else, especially art, because it isn't like it has to be in the lines perfect. I mean, I'm a terrible artist, but it was beautiful in the way it was supposed to be. And I think a lot more people can lean into that compassion piece because not ev we're not taught that growing up unless it's modeled to us or we understand it, but it's something that's not super tangible to understand, especially when you're a child or growing up and you're a perfectionist, that process and moving into that. And I'm really curious because I know part of a huge part of what you do is help people achieve their dreams and have their dream life. Can you tell us more about that? Is there maybe a client story you can tell us that can really embody what you do?
Yeah, I think, well, our dream lives really start with our belief that it's possible. And that's when people come to me. It's when they want to believe it's possible, but they can't see how. So they start telling themselves it's not possible. But really, most things are possible, especially if we believe it. So yeah, I could talk about many client stories, but as we're talking to entrepreneurs, I'd love to talk about a person who came to me for weight loss. She wanted to lose weight. And of course, that was possible. But what she really wanted behind that was to change her life, really transform it. And she wanted to, she had this idea of becoming a coach, and she wanted to leave her job. She was working as a teacher, so a bit like me. And she had got such a great idea for helping people. And the funny thing is, as she started losing weight, she suddenly thought, oh, I can do these things. I really can. So, from wanting to lose weight, she actually left her job, started her own business, and of course, finished off losing all the weight. And having her clients and moving on with what she really wanted in life. But just to say that sometimes we can start in our lives with something seemingly unrelated to what it is we really want, right? And then when we see how easy it can be, meaning easy, possible, right? If when we don't add layers onto it of complication or perfectionism, as you say, or procrastination, when we actually just get some support and some clarity, then most things are possible. So it can start by losing weight, stopping smoking, starting exercising, doing something that changes who you are, because I'm a proponent of becoming who you are. So it's more about who you are than what you do, if that makes sense.
Hi friends, today's video is so special because it's brought to you by our incredible sponsor, LoveSorrow, where your stories meet craftsmanship in the most beautiful way for both men and women. I've recently discovered their custom fine jewelry design. Trust me, it's a game changer. Check out these amazing pieces being delicately crafted. Each one tells a unique tale, and the best part, you can be a part of the design process. With over 50 chain styles crafted from solid metals, you get that timeless piece that is permanent and seamless without a clasp. Your piece, your style, your story. LoveSorrow, our sponsor, is offering you a chance to enter a world of understated enchantment. Head over to LoveSorrow's store locations in Los Angeles, California, and Boulder and Cherry Creek, Colorado, to begin your journey. Let's do this together with LoveSorrow. Now back to the show. That makes so much sense. It's so funny you say that because I've been going to all these networking events and I've seen a shift in myself where before I was like, oh, hi, I'm Dr. Caroline. This is what I do. All those things. Now it's like, hi, I'm Dr. Caroline and I love yoga. I love this. I love that. Like talking about who I am outside of my business. And I've had conversations with other entrepreneurs that are really diving into that piece of who they are as a whole, not just their business, because I feel like the business is like our babies a lot of times, but knowing that it's not just that. We have so many different elements to us and aspects and beautiful aspects. We don't always have the opportunity to tap into that, especially when we're like building a business. But I back to your client though, I love that you were able to really help her lose the weight, but it was more about like, it's almost like when you were saying it, what came to my mind was like these blinders were coming off, and she was really seeing that clear path of what she wanted to achieve and completely changing her life. It started with the weight, but it's almost like sometimes that's the symptom, and there's all this stuff on the root of it.
You're so right. And talking about our businesses and our babies, right? It's like when we start a business, it's like a journey of discovery, isn't it? Because we're going to be tested to the our limits, right? And we discover so much new stuff about ourselves. I think it's so awareness promoting, I don't know the right word for that. It's so eye-opening, I could perhaps say, eye-opening to be experiencing all of the things that are thrown at us when we start our businesses, and then seeing who it is we are dealing with those problems, right? So being who we are, I think, is so interesting when we think about business and entrepreneurship, because we think about, oh, what do I have to do? Much more than who do I have to be?
Absolutely. Can you speak more to that so people listening can really understand that differentiation between the two?
Yeah, I was helping a business owner the other day, and she was just frantically wanting to strategize. Like, she wanted to know, what can I do? What can I do? And blah, blah, blah. But when I asked her, well, I don't think it's about, or I told her, I don't think so much about what you do, because you are doing so much. You are taking all these action steps and you are providing all this value. But who are you in all of that? She sort of slowed down and like, oh, what do you mean? What do you mean? But let's face it, when we are in a sort of service-related business, it's all about who we are, right? If you work with people on stress, well, if you're all stressed out, well, they don't want to work with you. If you sell fashion, you have to look good in the clothes you're wearing, right? Otherwise, well, people don't want to buy from you. And I think it's so much about who we are, and that is what make people buy from us. It's not so much about what we do. Are we posting the right thing on social media? Are we saying the right things in our newsletters? It's more about how do we show up? Just basically, who am I as a person, and how can my people relate to me? And then be okay with the fact that not everybody can relate to us, right? And that's okay.
Yes, and that's hard, especially being a former people pleaser. And I know a lot of people pleasers where you want to be liked, you want to do everything the right way, but realizing that there's a reason not everyone fits for everybody, and that's absolutely okay. This was a very hard lesson for me to learn because I'm like, why don't they like me? But now I know it's okay. Not for everybody, but I think it's really just grounding in yourself and going back to that piece of self-love and compassion and understanding we are perfect who we are, but being able to embody that and show that and be authentic, be genuine, and be who we are. So more people can gravitate towards us that are the right people for us, whether it's business,
Yeah.
personal relationships, whatever it may be.
Exactly. And about being and doing, I think
Yeah.
sometimes we get a little bit confused about doing my best. Like, I like to do my best and be at my best, but
Yeah.
sometimes it's frankly not very good, but it's still my best, right? Because
Yeah.
there's my best, the absolute best. Like on a great day when I've had more than enough sleep, when everything is great and going well, this is how I am. And then on other days, well, actually, things aren't that great and I'm not feeling that great. It doesn't correspond, right? My best one day is not the best another day. And I think that's what we get confused about, because we always compare our performance, what we do, to the absolute best of which we're capable, the best we can do when we've had enough sleep, we've had the right food, when we've exercised, when everybody's been kind to us, you know,
Yeah.
that's what we compare ourselves to. And that, of course, is not really, what can I call it, realistic.
That's true. I actually saw, I think it was yesterday or the day before, I saw Mel Robbins had posted something about showing up, even if it's 40%, and just to kind of go off what you said about being your best. 40% is better than 0% and just showing up. And even this morning, I went to hot yoga and it was not a good session for me. I'm so wobbly. I couldn't like stay grounded, didn't have enough water, all of those things, but I still showed up and I still did it. So I felt like this morning it was a 40%. Now I feel so much better because I'm like, I did it great. But the piece about Mel Robbins and talking about that 40% and at least showing up is half the battle. Obviously, everyone has different percentages on that, but I think it's what you said. It's showing up as your best self and best you can in that moment. Every day is different. And it goes back to
Yeah.
reducing the perfectionism and knowing that we are perfect the way we are. And, you know, I love the fact that you also have done so many different things, but I know you've been on a TED Talk. I would love for you to share a little bit about your talk with us.
Well, I was very fortunate because I was asked to do a TED talk. So that was very easy. I didn't have to audition or anything. I had to give an outline, of course. And what is brilliant about TED talks is that they give you public speaking coach. So, of course, you have to submit what you want to say, but they help you really, first of all, construct your speech and then rehearse it. So, I mean, they really give you all the keys to success, and you just have to sort of follow along. So, I was very keen to talk about identity and labels, because I felt that we identify with something and it doesn't always serve us, right? If we could get rid of that label, and if we could see all of who we can be instead of just saying, I'm a school teacher, right? And then feel sort of boxed in by that, or I'm shy, or I'm awkward, or whatever it is, we say we are. It's like a label, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, really. And I talked about that because I noticed when I was a school teacher, people would react completely differently to me from when I was a musician. So when I said at the dinner party to the person next to me, if they asked me, so what do you do? I said, I'm a musician. Oh, they'd be so interested, right? And the same people at the same dinner when I was a teacher, if I said, I'm a school teacher, they would say, oh, and they would not be interested, because that immediately put a label on me, even though I was exactly the same person. So I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could just meet people with an open mind, right? The way you do in your business and the way I do in my business as coaches. When we meet people, like to think that they are capable of doing anything, right? And I'm so curious to learn more about them instead of putting them into a box of like people pleasers or perfectionists or procrastinators or one of those things. Of course, we've all got elements of that, but let's not identify with it. So that was really my core message of my TED talk. I don't know whether that answered your question.
Perfectly. And you know, it's interesting because I think we've been talking about this whole time of not labeling somebody, not saying, hey, you're just your business or you're just this. It's the whole person, and really identifying that in your talk and understanding we all bring something so unique to the table, and it's remaining curious. I do these trainings for the prison system in California for psychology for the therapists that work with the people in the prison. And it's interesting because that's a huge part of motivational interviewing is remaining curious and remaining open, because you never know what somebody has gone through. You don't know their full story. You might see on the surface like everything looks great and perfect, but you have no idea like who they are or prejudging someone when you haven't even spoken to them. But I love that you really honed in on the identity piece and removing labels, removing anything that's just putting people into a pretty little box or different boxes when it's open. It's a whole new world, basically. I just kind of see like the world popped in my head right now, but just not knowing what each person has to offer, who they are, and just understanding each person does have a different part of them that resonates with everybody. So one part might, like what you said, with being a teacher versus being a musician, but understanding that there's so many different qualities that we have. It's not just one. We're not just one entity. We're so
Yeah.
dimensional. We have so many dimensions within us.
That was beautifully said. And I've got a fun story about that. I used to coach in a business school at the MBA students to get their first jobs and everything. And there was one student who was often absent and, no big deal when he was there. He did his best because being a teacher, I always assume that people are doing their best, which was so good I did that because it turned out that he was being absent because his parents were deaf, like hearing impaired. His mum had got cancer, had to go to hospital, but they couldn't communicate with the hospital. So he had to travel home to his parents and take them to hospital so that he could translate for them whenever they went. And he said he had been judged by the whole establishment and nobody wanted to give him a reference. So I thought, wow, fortunately, I didn't catalogue him and I kept an open mind, thinking if this student is doing his best, maybe something is going on in his life that I know nothing about, right? Just keeping that open mind, not telling myself, oh, he never came, he was very absent, blah, blah, right? Just keep an open mind, you never know. That sort of illustrates what you just said.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And you don't know if you don't ask either, because you can assume everything, but if you don't know, or if somebody's not telling you, how do you know? But I love that story you shared.
So why not assume the best?
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. That's how I always feel. I always feel like there is good in everybody. They might present a certain way, but knowing that what happened, like I always think, what happened to them in childhood or what happened to them growing up, what experience shift them? Because especially being a former therapist, I would see a lot of different individuals, and you would never guess it when they walk into your office and then they'd start telling you their story, and you're just like, oh my goodness, like you've been through so much and nobody knows. And a lot of times, the harder the exterior, the more they've been through, at least
Exactly.
in my experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
But so many good things here. And I'm just curious because I know outside of the business, there's like the things that you see on the front end. I know there's a lot of things that go on the back end. What are some of the tools that you use in order to build your business?
My favorite tools are my autoresponder. So that's an email system that I've got where I have all my clients' emails and I send out newsletters and all that is automated. So I can do that when I've got the time and just automate it, which is so good. Also, I do the same for social media. So everything is automated. Like, of course, I have to write something to in the post, something in the letter, right? But once it's done, it's all automated. So recently I tried artificial intelligence for doing my post, but I didn't really enjoy it, so I sort of dropped that. I know that you can take that as a beginning and then tweak it. So I know a lot of my colleagues do that, but I just enjoy saying what's on my heart, and just doing it my way. So automations have helped me immensely. Obviously, payment links are very, very useful for me, so that I, well, as I only work on the net, I don't take physical money, and I think a link, like a button to click to pay, is so handy, isn't it? So that's the sort of the software I enjoy.
Yes, no, definitely makes things a lot easier when you have everything systemized and automated, so you don't have to worry about certain things like the programs that you're using, and especially payment. It makes it a lot easier than having to collect actual cash or a check or anything like that.
Yeah, waiting for the
Fun.
post and all of that. Yeah, boring, right? And it also takes your attention off what's really important and onto something that's not, I mean, not interesting even,
That's true. That's true. And with all the clients that you've served, all the stories you've had, all the ups and downs, what would you say are your top like two or three tips for entrepreneurs listening that are in this process, maybe just starting out as well?
Yeah, you can do it. You can do it. You might not know how. And if you keep asking yourself how, you will never do it. So, what I like to do is to start with the what. What is it I really want? Ask my clients, well, what is it if you could have anything? What would it be? If there were no consequences to having it, what would you choose? So, we start looking at what would I really, really want if so and so wouldn't be thinking such and such, right? So, we take off all the consequences. Oh, I could go broke. Oh, my mom could think I was being blah, blah, blah. So, if you can manage to put that aside and just focus really on what it is you want, and then start believing that it's possible, start collecting evidence for other people doing it. Start collecting evidence from your own life of you having done something similar or something difficult, right? Start collecting that evidence because that will help you believe. So once you believe, like in coaching, we like to work on the thoughts, right? So once you can believe that it's possible to do what you want to do, then you can start thinking about your first action step. Like not action step number nine, just number one. Because once you've taken that step number one, you will have some different options that you can't see as long as you haven't taken step number one. So take step number one, then have a look at what's available.
Like an in bite sizes, knowing step one, not step nine, but also that self-belief, because I think that's where a lot of people hold themselves back, especially with their dreams. But what do you think helps people push past those limits? Once they're like the belief is there, but they're like taking that first step, what do you think is the hardest part of that for people?
So you can take that first step through suffering, or you can take it through desire. So my first step on my journey was through suffering. So I suffered so much, I had to change. I felt I was pushed by it because I wanted to stop suffering. So my next step was more through desire because, oh, I want this so much. I want it so much. I'm willing to take a risk. So it's asking yourself, is it necessary really that I suffer a lot before I take the first step? Or could I just go ahead and take the first step and skip the suffering? Right? So that's something to consider. What if you just took it without having to justify the step through a lot of suffering? I think we do that a lot too. Oh, I must leave my job because my boss is so unkind that I'm suffering and I'm feeling stress and burnout. So it's the only way, right? Why don't you do that before you start suffering, right? Why don't you just say, I don't have to justify it. My desire is enough.
Yes. I feel like you're speaking to me like 7 years ago. And it's true. So a lot of my journey was about the suffering. I just felt like, okay, I had to justify every step I took because of how it looked on the outside or even internally. But it's so interesting how that when that shift happens where you don't have to justify, so many more opportunities start going into your door, you're like, wow, this is just so much because I'm just following my heart versus my head or versus what everybody else is expecting of me. But I think it's so key what you said about the suffering and realizing that we don't have to justify what we want at all. And so many people I personally know that have been on this journey have created their businesses out of suffering or things along those lines. But there was so much justification, and I can only speak very firmly to my own experience. But that's part of it. It's understanding that when we remove the justifications, when we remove any like excuses, realizing you can ask for what you want and get it and go for it.
Isn't that good to know, right? Isn't that just so inspiring, I find?
It is. It's just really dreaming your dream, like wanting, what is that? That's from a song or a movie, I think. I don't know. Regardless, but being able to follow your heart. And I think people say it, and it's can be really complex for people to really digest that and what that looks like. And you've outlined so many stories already of just really following our dreams. And I'm curious, what was that? Because I know you were teaching and then moved into life coaching, but what was that pivotal point for you in the or at the moment where you're like, yes, this is exactly what I want to do.
It was working with the parents because I saw that unhappy parents have unhappy children, right? So you can, of course, work with the children, but they go back home every day. And so to get more to the root cause, well, why not work with the parents so that they can feel good? And once they feel good, they're modeling that to their children, right? And that's
Absolutely.
really how we go about changing the world. I think it's one person at a time.
It absolutely is. Just ringing true to, I used to love working with kids in the therapy world, and then I realized a very similar concept. All the kids, it's a symptom of what's going on in the family, which is why I did marriage and family therapy, but understanding that it is the parents because they have an opportunity to break cycles, because a lot of times it comes from like generations prior of just how they function in the world. Everybody's a little bit different, but at least from what I've seen, it really is that generational aspect. And I love that you're breaking that cycle and really helping those individuals and let them thrive in what they truly dream and what they really want in life to show that and model that to their children. And I'm just really curious because I just want to know, what does the future look like for you the next year or so? What are any of your goals or aspirations that you're working towards?
Well, thank you for asking because I'm living my dream life, right? I'm living in the place I want to live in, with the man I want to live with, doing the work I want to do. So life is good, but there's always more. So my next dream is to be living in a chateau, which means just castle in French. I'd love to live in a castle here in France and have self-love retreats so that I would share my castle with people who want more self-love, what that self-love affair.
Gosh, I love that. There's somebody that just popped in my head that I need to connect you with, but I'll tell you after this. Yes. Oh, I love it. I just love what you're doing to help people really tap into that self-love, the compassion, and stand in their light and do what they love. And you are embodying that, modeling that. I've been so enjoying this conversation, Katrina. Where can people find you? Use your services. We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know
Yeah,
too.
they can come and visit me on katrinahorn.com. That's KatrinaHorn.com. And write me an email.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Katrina, for coming on, sharing your beautiful energy with us, just everything you are doing in this world. I appreciate it. I know your clients do, and all those that will work with you and attend your retreats in the future. But thank you again for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I can just say likewise. Thank you for this.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from today, and we'll see you on the next episode.